This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
We are in a series of grace. Somebody say, I'm under grace. It's better to be under grace than under the law. Amen. And the Bible says that we're not under the law. Amen. We're not under the Old Testament. We're in a New Testament. Somebody say a New Covenant. So we're under grace. What that means is that our life can be a little easier than the lives of the people in the Old Testament. Amen? We're under grace because we can go straight to God through Jesus Christ. And we don't have to go through a priest. Is that good news today? Amen. You don't have to come to me and confess your sins. You can go straight to the Father through Jesus Christ. Amen. That's powerful. That's powerful. That means that you have a line with God. You have an in with God. Amen. And I love that. And grace is powerful. And so the title of my sermon, because today is Healing Sunday. And, you know, I love preaching on healing because we all are dealing with, I think at times in our lives, we're going to deal with sickness. We're going to deal with oppression. We might have some blue Mondays. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The enemy's going to be working. Has the devil ever worked against you in your life? And I'm going to say this. If you might be going through a problem today, that problem has a time limit on it. And I'm going to say this. Your problem is subject to change. Do you believe that today? Because God's word is unchangeable, and it changes the natural circumstances in our life. Look at your neighbor and say, it's getting better. It's getting better. You got to believe it's getting better. Yeah. The devil will tell you it's getting worse. But I'm gonna say to you today, if you're in Jesus and you're keeping your hope anchored in Him, it's getting better. Amen. I read my Bible. I read Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans that I have for you. And they're not bad plans. This is talking about future. God has good things for you. You believe that today? And so we're talking about, you know, grace for healing. And, you know, sometimes when you hear the word grace, you hear the word unmerited favor. Have you ever heard that? Grace is, in other words, you don't have to work for grace, you just got to believe for it. I'm going to say again, you don't have to work for your standing in God. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to receive a standing in God. But also, I like what grace is also. If you take the word grace and you break it down, the word grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. Has anybody ever heard that before? God's riches at Christ's expense. What does that mean? That means all the blessings of heaven we can walk in because of Jesus. That's what that means. It's Jesus paid the price to unlock the blessings of heaven down here for us in this earth. I believe we all can walk in the blessing. I call it the blessing. But I believe there's measures of blessing, and we could go higher. How many people believe you can go higher? Amen. I believe we can go higher. I believe that we can walk in more healing. I believe we can walk in more prosperity. I believe that our relationships can get better. Do you believe that today? Amen. And I love that. So grace is God's ability to make His power present in our lives. And we're looking at a scripture in Acts, and it says, and with great power, the apostles, Acts 4:33, with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. I love that. So I'm going to say this to you today. Great power, ready for this? Great power and great grace go hand in hand. Amen. I'm going to say that again. This is powerful. Great power and great grace go hand in hand. And the question I'm going to ask you this morning is, what is God's power or grace used for? What is his grace used for? And I would have to say the power of God's grace is really designed to set the captives free. That's what God's grace is here for. It's to set people free from bondage. His grace is his power to set you free. You might be going through something today. You might be going through an issue today. But his grace can break you out of that issue. His grace can heal your body. His grace can put finances in your bank account. Do you believe that today? Do you believe he can do that today? I believe that. And we know this, and I'm going to say this, that God's grace works the best at your weakest point. In other words, God comes to rescue you at your weakest point. The best prayer you can pray is, God, help me. That's one of the best prayers you can pray. God, help me. I need your help. Do you know lots of people don't pray prayers and ask God to help them? Lots of people, they just kind of go on their own merry way, and they believe that they can handle life on their own. They don't need God. They don't need his grace. But you know what? When something bad comes down the pike in their lives, it might wake them up. I'm going to say this. Lots of times it takes a crisis to bring Christ into our lives. We only seek God when we have a problem at times. And I'm going to say this. Start seeking God before you get the problem. And a lot of times we get a problem then, oh man, does it come down to we got to pray? Yeah, listen, it's not a mandatory that you have to pray, but you get to pray. Amen? It's not a mandatory, but you get to pray. Amen? Jesus was in the wilderness. Think about this. He was in the wilderness for 40 days and he was fasting. And this was right before he went into his public ministry. And he was fasting. And at the end of his fast, the Bible said Jesus got hungry. And guess when the devil attacked? When he was hungry. When he was at his weakest point. When does the devil attack? He doesn't attack you hard when you're in church and you just heard a faith message and he attacks you in the middle of the week. He attacks you a couple days. He may attack you 2 or 3 hours later. Amen. Why? The devil's trying to get you to forget what you've heard. And I'm telling you, you got to hold on. Somebody say, hold on. You got to hold on to eternal life. So holding on is not letting go. I'm going to say again, holding on is not letting go. You got to hold on to the unchanging hand of Jesus until he changes your circumstances. So Jesus was attacked at his weakest point, and the devil will attack you. You might be going through a trial today. You might be going through maybe an attack in your health, maybe an attack, and we're focused on healing today. You might be getting a financial attack, or you might be having an attack in your relationships. And I'm going to say this, the devil's attacking you because you have value in God, and the devil doesn't attack anybody that doesn't have potential. And I'm going to say this, God has a calling on your life, and if you weren't going through something, this is a telltale sign. You're going through something today, it's because God has a calling on your life and you're going through what I call the wilderness or the test. But I'm going to say this to you this morning, you're going to make it through it. Amen. Say, I'm going to make it. God's going to cause you to make it through it, the test. There's no temptation that's common to man, but they're all common. But God will always make a way of an escape. Do you believe that today? God will always make a way of escape of that trial and that tribulation. Amen? So let's look at Jesus. And when he went through the trial, now I'm saying this, some of you might be going through a trial. But you're going to come out like Jesus. How did he come out? In the power of the Spirit. It says in Luke 4:14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region, and he taught in the synagogues, being glorified by all. This is powerful, because when you go through your trial, there's the power of the Spirit on the other end. Remember what I said at the very beginning? With great grace comes great power. But with great grace comes a trial, a testing. So you're never going to have great grace unless you go through something. Oh, I'm preaching to somebody today. People that don't go through anything, they don't need to experience the grace of God. But if you've been through something in your life and you're going through something in your life, that's why you need the grace of God in your life. Somebody say more grace.
More grace.
Amen. And when you have more grace, what you go through will be easy. Do you believe that today?
Amen.
Do you believe that today? And I love that. And it says in Luke 4:14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, and news went through him in all the surrounding region, and he taught in the synagogues, being glorified by all. Now notice that. I never noticed that before. But he was glorified by all. Oh, I'm going somewhere this morning. In other words, Jesus was ministering. Yes, he had his critics. Jesus had his critics, but he also had his fans. And there were people that loved Jesus. Yes, there were people that hated him, but there were people that loved him as well. And it says here that he was being glorified by all. What does the grace of God do in your life? It causes you to have favor with God and man.
Amen.
Somebody say favor.
Amen.
Amen. And so he was being glorified by all. He was walking in the power of the Spirit. And in 4:16, it says, and he came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up as his custom was, and he went into the synagogue of the Sabbath day and stood up and read. This is powerful, and I just want to put a plug in here. It said Jesus was, you know, his custom was to go to church. I'm going somewhere today. His custom, now Jesus was walking in the grace of God, and it was his custom. That means that he was a church goer. That means he went to church. What am I saying to you this morning? I'm saying that if you want the great grace in your life, come to church. Because there might be something in church that God might want to get to you. There might be a blessing. Now, thank God for all you watching online. And you're going to get a blessing from watching. But there's a greater blessing, I believe, when you're in the auditorium for the Holy Spirit to move. Because if you're at home and you're eating a bagel, you can get kind of, a sidetracked. But being in church, you're going to be a little bit more focused. Somebody say, pay attention. And you got to pay attention. In other words, you got to be focused. You got to pay attention to what the preacher's preaching. And I love this. It was Jesus' custom to be in church. And then Jesus read the Bible in church. It's okay to read your Bible in church. Amen. And he says, I have. So he read the word, and Jesus read the word, and he read out of Isaiah 61, out of the prophet Isaiah 61. Now this is Jesus' commission. He said, I came to preach the gospel to the poor. God's grace empowers you to break the power of poverty off your life. Remember Jesus said, I came to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor. What does that mean? His grace empowers you to break poverty and lack off of your lives. That's powerful today. What am I talking about? We're talking about the grace of God. In other words, you don't have to be poor no more. I love that. And in 3 John 1:2, it says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper. Somebody say prosper. In all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. So John here, he says here, I pray that you may prosper in all things. And in some translations says above all things. That you may prosper above all things. That's powerful. So this is not, this is talking about financial prosperity. God wants you prosperous. In other words, he wants to bless you so that you can be a blessing. That's why he blessed Abraham. He said, I will bless you and make you a blessing. God wants to bless you and he wants to make you a blessing. In other words, instead of you praying for a miracle, you can become somebody's miracle. Do you believe that? Do you believe you can be a breakthrough for somebody else? Sometimes we pray, God, send somebody to me so they can give me a breakthrough. But God wants to visually make you the breakthrough. Can I get a witness in the house today? And in Proverbs 10:22, it says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Talking about Jesus came to preach the good news to the poor. What's the good news? The blessings of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. What does that mean? Because he has no sorrow with people that are Christians that are wealthy, because Christians don't put their faith in their wealth. They put their faith in Jesus.
Yes, amen.
Amen. And when you put your faith in Jesus, you're not worried about losing your wealth. Amen. You're not trying to keep your wealth. You just hold on to the unchanging hand of Jesus. So he blesses you and he will make, it says here, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich and he adds no sorrow with it. That's powerful. Because there are some rich people that can't sleep at night because they're afraid they're going to lose their money. Do you know that? There's rich people that are afraid. They're walking in fear. But what is it to have money and be in fear? I'd rather have Jesus and be in faith. Can I get a witness in the house today? And then in Deuteronomy 8:18, talking about Jesus came to preach the gospel to the poor, and you shall remember the Lord your God, for is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. So Jesus gives us power. Say, I have power.
I have power.
See, the grace of God, great grace is great power. Great power can move you forward in the financial arena. God can increase you. Remember Isaac, the Bible said he sowed in the land of famine. Anybody ever read that? What happened with Isaac? It said he reaped 100-fold. And he sowed in the land of famine. Isaac sowed when the economy was bad. So you don't have to partake of the world's economy. You take up the heavenly economy. Do you believe that today? And so I love that. And he says, you shall remember the Lord thy God. In other words, every time we get finances coming into our life, we should always remember God.
Amen.
We should always think about God. Every time the dollar comes into our hands, God should be the first thing we think about.
Amen.
And we should be giving him some praise.
Amen.
Why? Because he gives us the power to make wealth. He gives us the ability. He gives us, remember I said last week what grace was? It's opportunity and ability. God gives you opportunity and he gives you ability. It's his grace that gives you the ability to make that wealth. Amen? Now, Jesus also said, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. God's grace heals broken and wounded hearts. Has anybody ever been hurt out here? Have anybody ever been betrayed out here? Has anybody ever had people turn their backs on you? Have you been hurt? Glory to God. You know, Jesus experienced every pain humanly possible. Jesus was betrayed. He was hurt, but he took that so that he could heal our wounded hearts. I love that. And so maybe you're dealing with some pain in your life, but I'm going to say this. You don't have to be a victim all your life. God can change your pain into pleasure. Do you believe that today? In other words, what the enemy meant for evil, God can turn for your good. Do you believe that today? You know, Joseph was betrayed by his brothers. Joseph was sold into slavery. Joseph was thrown in the pit. And, you know, his brothers betrayed him. But you know what? God vindicated Joseph. And Joseph became a prince, became the prime minister of Egypt, became a father to Pharaoh. God paid Joseph back for the pain that he received. And whatever pain that you're receiving, if you stand in God, God will make sure. Maybe you have some people that left you and said, you're serving Jesus, I don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. God will add more friends to you. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Maybe your faith, you know, sometimes walking in faith is not always the most popular thing to do. Sometimes people turn their backs on you when you walk. Why? You're not partying with them anymore. Then they start saying to you, well, you think you're better than us? You ever hear that one? Oh, you must think you're better than us. You can't come to the club anymore. No, why don't you tell them, come to my club. Come to my church. My club. I remember one time I was in the secular world. I was a church attendee. I wasn't a minister at that time. And I was trying to get some people to come to church. And they said, well, you come to the club tonight with us and we'll go to church with you the next day. So I said, okay, that's a deal. I went to the club, but they didn't come to the church. And I was drinking water. I hung out in the club thinking that they were going to come to church. But guess what? People in the world don't tell the truth all the time. Have you found that out? Some people in the world don't have morals. They wanted me to fall. Amen. I wanted to raise them up. They didn't come to church. Guess what? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. What does that mean? Next time, I'm not going to the club. Why? Because if you didn't show up the first time, you're not showing up the second time. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? In other words, I'm not going to trust you the next time. Amen? And so what am I saying to you today? I'm saying that God will heal the broken heart. I love this. Listen to this in Isaiah. It says here, to console, I didn't have a broken heart over that, by the way. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. Somebody say beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. I love that. So we're talking about that God is here, and he's here to heal broken hearts. And I'm telling you, you gotta allow God, the healing anointing of God's power, to heal your hearts. And you know, the Bible said that Joseph's heart was hurt because of his brothers. But then he named two of his kids. One was Ephraim. And I believe that one of them was that God made me forget the pain that I went through. Think about that. And I'm going to say this, that whatever you've been through, whatever hurt and pain, God can cause you to forget the pain. Amen. Do you believe that today? Amen. In other words, it will be a distant memory. And it won't sting. You won't feel the pain. You will just have the memory. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? And I love this because it says in Isaiah 43, 18 and 19, do not remember the former things. Think about this. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now shall it spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will make a road in the wilderness and rivers in deserts. I'm telling you, some of you need to learn to forget some things. You need to forget about it. You need to learn to let some things go. Stop holding on to hurts and pains of what people have done to you. You just need to let go and let God. Sometimes you just got to let bygones be bygones. Just let it go. Have you ever had a hard time letting some things go? Have you people done things to you? Sometimes it takes space and grace to let things go. In other words, it's not easy to let... I'm talking to anybody today. Sometimes things people do hurt us so bad, it wrecks us for months. It can wreck us for years. It can wreck us for decades. But it shouldn't have to. In other words, you need to learn to let go of these things. Ask God for God's grace in that situation. That God, when somebody does you wrong, the first person you need to pray for is yourself. God, help me. Help me. I'm having a hard time with this. I really want to go over there and slap them upside the head. I really want to do something serious to them, some bodily harm. But you know what? You need to pray for yourself. Amen. And then you need to start praying for them. And I'm saying that's not easy. And you start, what do you pray for them? That God would forgive them. Lord, I want the God, the judge of all universe to judge them. No, you want God's mercy. You don't want God's judgment. Why? Because you want God's mercy. The Bible says if you want God's mercy, you got to be merciful. Sow mercy and you'll reap mercy. Sow unforgiveness and you'll reap unforgiveness. Come on, I'm preaching to somebody today. I'm preaching today. And the Bible says if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. Is that right? Sow unforgiveness, reap unforgiveness. Sow mercy, reap mercy. Am I talking to anybody today? Amen. Is this hitting home today? So what is God doing? He's saying that God can heal your broken heart. He's saying don't remember the former things. He's saying that don't consider the things of old. He's saying that I'm going to do a new thing in your life. If somebody left you, then God's going to bring somebody new into your life. Do you believe that today? Amen. Amen. Not everybody's going to hang out and stay and stick. Glory to God. But Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Amen. And Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. And I'm talking to anybody today. Number three, God's grace, he says he proclaims liberty to the captives. God's grace sets you free from the bondage of sin in your lives. You don't have to be a Christian and still walk in sin. Oh, Pastor, I thought we were all sinners saved by grace, and that's what we do. That's our makeup. No, you're a new creation in Christ. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new. You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and God's grace empowers you to walk out of sin and walk in righteousness. Amen. That's what God's grace empowers you. God's grace will never empower you to lie, cheat, and steal. God's not in that. God's in you telling the truth. God's in you working hard. God's in you being faithful. Amen. So don't say, well, everybody has their little sins. What? I don't think so. In other words, you need to confess your sins. And he's faithful and righteous to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from some unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Right? So we're not people that walk in lawlessness. We walk upright before God. In other words, we walk every day trying to please God. Amen. Is that right? Amen. Say, I want to please him. That's how the grace is increasing your life. A desire to please God. Amen. That's my desire, is to please God. In John 8:36, it says, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Talking about God's grace sets us free from the bondage of sin. Who the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. In 8:31, just before that, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. So how are you going to be free in this life? You better get the Word. Amen. You better meditate on the Word. You need to allow the Word of God to become truth in your life. You don't need to let the philosophies of this world to be true in your life. You need to let God's word be true. Let God's word be true and every man a liar. Let God's word be true and the philosophies of this word of this world be a lie. Amen? I love what it says here in Titus 2:11. It says, "For by the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that we might redeem us from every lawless deed." Think about that. That he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. I'm going to say this to you today. The grace of God should encourage us to be zealous, not for evil works, but for good works. Can I get a witness? So he's saying the grace of God has appeared to all men. In other words, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The grace of God is for everybody that's willing to receive it. Remember what I said in one of my preachings? That God's grace is him knocking on our doors of our hearts. But our faith, it's by grace through faith, is us opening the door. God's grace is his word giving us instruction. Our faith is us obeying his word. Can I get a witness in the house today? So we're talking about the grace of God being set free this morning. Number four, Jesus said he came to recover the sight to the blind. He came to set at liberty those that are blind, both physically and spiritually. You know, there's spiritually blind people all over this planet. They can't see how good Jesus is. They don't know how good God is. God is good. They think God is bad. The devil has hoodwinked them, making them think that God is not that good. If God was so good, why is all of this bad in the world? Because we have opened the door to it. Because Adam has sinned and gave Satan some rulership in this world. Jesus said that Satan is the god of this world system. God's not running this planet. Some may say, I beg to differ. He ain't running this planet. You got a lot of stuff going on that's bad. God's not behind all the wars, rumor of wars. He's not behind that. Glory to God. No, he's behind restoration. Glory to God. And so he came to recover sight to the blind. I love this in Acts 26. This is interesting. I hit on this on Wednesday. But the Apostle Paul got directive from the Lord, saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ gave him this commission, gave the Apostle Paul this commission. He says here, talking about recovering sight to the blind, that means getting people's eyes open to truth. It says here in Acts 26, 18, to open their eyes, in order, talking about the people of the world, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Notice that Paul was sent to the Gentiles mainly to open their eyes and in order to turn them from darkness to light. People that don't have Jesus in their life, they are spiritually blind. Somebody say, my eyes are open. And if you have Jesus in your life, the scales, the Bible says that the devil puts scales on people's eyes from seeing the truth. Your scales have been removed. You believe that today? You are in the ark of safety. You are heaven bound. You're not in darkness. You're not under the domain of the spirit of darkness. You're under the spirit of light, glory to God. And I love that. So Jesus came to open the blind eyes. In John 8:12 says, Jesus spoke to them again saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So when you follow Jesus, you won't be blind. Your eyes will be open to truth. Amen? You know, Jesus opened blind eyes while he was down here. Physical blind eyes. There's two mentions in the Gospels where he opened two different people's blind eyes. Let's look at this one. And I would say this, that God can operate through grace through faith, and that's us believing God to do something. But God can also, in his sovereign plan, by his mercy, set you free.
Amen.
Do you believe that today? You could wake up, you could be bound by something one day and set free the next. And it's the power of God. There it is. And you're like, man, I've been set free of bad habits, and I don't even know how I got set free of them. I was walking in a bad habit, and all of a sudden, that bad habit's not there anymore. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? It's God's grace that can set you free from bad habits. Glory to God. I love that. Glory to God. Amen. Now, let's look at this. It says in John 9:1-7. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from the birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sin, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. This is powerful because, you know, the Jewish people thought that people could sin in the womb. I don't know why they would think that way. And he said, who sinned that caused this man? Was it his parents? Was it a result of his parents' sin? Or was it a result of his sin? And Jesus said, neither. In other words, basically, Jesus could have said, you live in a fallen world. You have the devil out here. And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's afflicting humankind. But I'm in the world, and I come to set humankind free. And so he says here, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Now, this is powerful. Jesus is going to heal this man. So some say, well, God, can't this man glorify God in his blindness? Yeah, he can. But what is a greater testimony? This man glorifying God in him seeing. In other words, this is a revelation of God's goodness to people. And so here, Jesus said that he must works the works of God in this man's life. And what's the works of God in this man's life? The works of God in this man's life is healing. That is the highest pinnacle for the works of man. Some would say, well, God is leaving sickness on my life so I can glorify him in the sickness. Why not glorify God in the healing? Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Why not glorify God in him? Why do you feel like you got to suffer? Because did not Jesus suffer already for us?
Amen.
Are you saying that now you're gonna suffer? Well, Jesus already suffered and paid the price. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? So no. We glorify God in our healing. We don't glorify God in our... Yes, you can have a positive attitude in your sickness, and you can bring some measure of glory. But I believe there's a greater measure of glory through your healing. Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. In other words, God doesn't want you walking around here sick. He wants healed bodies to work through. Because if you're sick and you're in bed, how can you get up and help and be a blessing to somebody else? Amen. I'm preaching to somebody today. Amen. Amen. And so this man went and washed in the pool of Siloam, and he came back seeing, and he glorified Jesus in it. Amen. And number five, Jesus came to set to liberty those who are oppressed. Oppression is always kin to sickness. If you say somebody's oppressed, you can say that they are sick. In other words, the devil can afflict your body, and you can also be afflicted by, you know, an accident or whatever. That could be an affliction as well. And it says here that in Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went about doing good and telling people that they need to suffer for the glory of God. No, it doesn't say that. It says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So we see here that Jesus didn't only preach a message of grace, but he operated in the power of grace. And great grace, great power. And when he operated in great power, people got set free. And I'm going to say this to you today. If you start speaking the word of God, praying in the name of Jesus, people will start getting set free. Amen. Can I get a witness in the house today? Amen. So he came to set the captives free. In Matthew 8, 16 and 17, it says, when evening has come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Underline that. He healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and he bore our sicknesses. So Jesus came, the Bible says he came, and what got people's attention was that he came to heal people that were sick, and he also came and he cast demons out of people. He became famous for casting demons out of people and healing the sick. Are you hearing what I'm saying? They say, what authority that he operates in, that he even commands unclean spirits to leave. I'm going to say this. There might be some unclean spirits working on some of your family members, but you got the power of God. Some of you might need to get an anointing cloth. Let me pray over it. Put it under their head at night. Glory to God. We had one person that was abusing their wife, a husband. He was unsaved. And I anointed that cloth and put it under bed. And you know what? That rascal, it was in that pillow. He took the pillow and he put it up in his closet. What am I saying today? The devil knows some things. He knows there's power in the anointing of God. I'm going to say this. You're in here today, and I'm going to say it's more caught than taught. Sometimes you need to catch the Spirit of God on the pastor, because sometimes it's more caught than taught. You need to get... In other words, anointing is transferable. Glory to God. And I'm telling you, you guys are getting fired up. You guys are getting serious. I know you're sitting on the inside, but you're running on the outside. Glory to God. I can see it right now. You guys are about ready to run around this room. Glory to God. You're jumping up and down. Glory to God. Praising God. Amen. Amen. And so God's power is activated. Amen. So we see here that the last key, Jesus came to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. In other words, another translation is God, that Jesus came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. If you are a Christian today, I'm going to have to decree to you that you are under God's favor. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have the favor of God on your life. Can somebody say amen on that? Amen. In Psalms 5:12, it says, for you, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. You will surround him as with a shield. Amen. So the Lord will surround you. He will bless the righteous with favor. If God caused Jesus to grow in favor and wisdom with God and man, God is causing us to grow in favor and wisdom with God and man. I want to say this today. Great power and great grace go hand in hand. If you're going to activate great power in your life, you're going to have to learn to use the name of Jesus. In Acts 3, Peter and John went to the synagogue to pray, and they went at the ninth hour, and the Bible says there was an invalid, there was a man laying there begging, and Peter said, saw him begging, and he said, silver and gold we have not, but what we do have we give unto thee. Rise and walk in the name of Jesus. What did they have? They had the most powerful name in the universe. They say that silver and gold could not get that man on his feet, but the power of the name of Jesus can. Yeah. And I'm going to say this, the power of the name of Jesus can get you on your feet. jumping and running and praising God. That's what he did. He was leaping and jumping and running in the church because he was healed because of the name of Jesus. And Peter said, don't look at us because of our, you know, piety or because of how holy we are. It's the name of Jesus that caused this man to be raised up. Some of you need to start using the name of Jesus. Some of you need to start speaking the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus should be used every day in your lives. If you're going to exercise great power with great grace, you have to activate this great power by speaking God's word. Not just by using the name of Jesus, but you need to confess some scriptures. Amen on that. You need to confess some scriptures. And some of you may, you know, I don't know if you know any scriptures. You should know some scriptures. You should have some memorization. You should meditate on the Word of God. Amen. And the Bible says the Word of God in Hebrews 4:12 is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing spirit, soul and spirit, marrow and bone, judging the very intents of the heart. The Word of God is powerful. It's like a scalpel that will cut off every negative thing, and you need to learn to start speaking the Word of God. Jesus said in John 6:63, my words are spirit and they are life. And if you speak the Word of God out of your mouths in faith, they will become spirit and life in your equation. Amen. Do you believe that today? It's more than just us getting an understanding of what it means. No, you take that Word of God and you speak it like the Son of God. Amen. Amen. You need to learn to confess the Word of God. You need to learn to speak it. Let me give you an example. In Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, it says, surely he bore our sicknesses and carried our pains. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten, God afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. This is how you can say, thank you, Lord. By Jesus' stripes you bore my sicknesses and carried my pains. And by your stripes, thank you, Lord, by your stripes I am healed. You confess that Word of God and thank God that the anointing is working on that Word. Amen. Don't just read and say, I believe it. Confess it. Amen. Speak it out of your mouth. Yes. The centurion said, just speak the Word and my servant will be healed. If you're going to exercise great power with great grace, you're going to need to learn to praise God. Yes. If you're going to exercise great power with great grace, you're going to have to learn to give God some thanksgiving. You need to learn to give God some praise, glory to God. You need to worship God in the midnight hour. Paul and Silas were in the midnight hour in prison, and they sang and worshiped out loud, and the prisoners heard them. Sometimes you got to get loud with God. You got to get loud with people around you. You need to start praising and giving God glory. And the Bible said that God shook that prison and the prison doors opened. Praise enacted freedom in their lives. If you start praising God for what God has done and what He is going to do, you're going to see the blessings of God in your life. The 10 lepers that came to Jesus and said, have mercy on us. And Jesus said, go, turn, go to the priest, show your bodies, you are healed. As they turned, they were healed. One man came back. One man that was a Samaritan. He came back and the Bible says he cried out loud and he said, praise you, Jesus, thank you. Fell on his knees. And Jesus said, where's the other nine? In other words, God is expecting reciprocation to His love. Amen. God's expecting us to reciprocate His love. Where's the other nine? Are you reciprocating God's love? Are you giving Him some love back? Where's the love? Are you worshiping God in your trial and your tribulation? Worship Him in your trial and tribulation, and it will become a triumphant place in your life. And that one man, that one Samaritan, and Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. What does that mean, whole? Well, some translation says your faith has saved you. Not only did this man get healed, But he got salvation. Amen. In other words, he got his name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. In other words, you know, he just, it's one thing to get healed, but it's more than that to make, be made whole. You could say also that everything that was broken was totally, completely fixed. The Bible talks about shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken, as if it was never touched. And I believe that he was at a point where he, that leprosy caused you to lose parts of your body. I believe everything was restored to the total wholeness as if the curse has never touched him. God is moving today. And maybe you're going through some issues. Maybe you're going through some situations. But the God's grace, if we start practicing some of these things, using the name of Jesus, speaking the word of God, praising God, giving him some thanks. Thanksgiving always precedes the blessing. Jesus said, when he said, roll that stone away for Lazarus to be raised up. Then Jesus prayed, God, I thank you that you always hear me. Jesus thanked the Father before he raised the dead. And I'm going to say this, you better start thanking God, giving him some praise in your process, and you'll see the promise.
Amen.
Did you receive it today?
Amen.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. I thank you, Father God, that we're going to start using your name, Jesus, the name that's above every name. We're going to start speaking your word. We're going to continue to give you praise regardless of what it looks like. And I thank you, Lord God, and I decree as we do these three steps, we'll walk in great grace and we'll walk in great power. I thank you, Father God, for the people here this morning listening at the sound of my voice, those watching online. God's grace is abounding towards you today. God's favor is turning to you today. His face is shining towards you today. And maybe you've never asked Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. In other words, Jesus is knocking on the door of your heart. All you have to do is open that door. So to do that, you have to confess the Lordship of Jesus Christ, Romans 10, 9 and 10. And if you're ready to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there's no other way to get saved by confessing and receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Say this and mean it out aloud. And say it out loud and mean it in your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.